I just want to welcome Joe Simidian to the Green Front.
Betsy,
Senator,
nice to be with you.
So
it's been a long time. How are you?
It has. I've been covering the Green Front ever since I last saw you, which was about a decade ago, and I'm glad you have hardly given up on the cause and are still a champion. And congratulations first on your bill being passed that would require California to get about a third of its energy from renewable sources. Very exciting, and I believe it is headed for the governor's desk. And given we know Jerry Brown has a very green track record here in California, you must be feeling hopeful today.
I'm both hopeful and optimistic. I think both on the environmental front and on the economic development front, the bill is entirely consistent with Governor Brown's message to date. So no guarantees, but I think we have every reason to be optimistic.
And you just came in. I was interviewing Joseph Rome, who has, of course, the Uber climate blog, the best in the world, Climate Progress, and he has the story of this exciting development on his blog today. So I just wanted to get you two together, Joe and Joe, two green guys.
Pleasure to meet
you.
Doing
great work out there.
Congratulations. I did do a post on it. Obviously, California remains one of the bright lights in this area in fighting back Prop 23 and with the governor and with your work in getting the leadership on renewable energy.
Well, thanks. I think the conversation you all were just having about the importance of diversity in our energy supply is one of the issues that goes unnoticed, frankly. Yes, renewables make sense in terms of clean air. Yes, renewables make sense in terms of climate change issues, but entirely apart from those issues, I tell my colleagues, look, if you don't care a whit about the environment, you ought to care about the value of renewable energy as a way to diversify our energy supplies here in California. I was a brand new member of the legislature in 2001 when we had the energy crisis and saw firsthand the kind of market manipulation that is possible if you don't diversify your supply. So I see this not just as an environmental issue, but as from a standpoint of energy policy, you want to be in a position where you don't have all of your energy eggs in one basket. You've got the ability to diversify your supply and protect yourself from folks who otherwise are able to manipulate the market and effectively say stick them up, which is what happened to us a decade ago.
And, Senator, does this legislation say anything in particular about nuclear power as a source?
It does not. There's a definition, an existing definition in law that identifies what does and does not constitute renewable energy. And you've mentioned, a number of the most viable options right now in terms of wind and solar and biomass and geothermal. All of these are part of the long list, but nuclear is clearly not in that category. And as you pointed out earlier, Betsy, whether you're worried about the risks attendant with nuclear, at least as we now know nuclear to be, and or the consequences from an environmental standpoint of coal, the solution is to have the diversity in supply that gives you other options. Makes sense from a safety standpoint, makes sense from an environmental standpoint, but again, just makes sense from an economic standpoint if you're trying to prevent yourself from being held hostage to the kind of price spikes we've seen in the past. That's a smart way to go.
And Senator, why is it so important that the market, the clean tech, renewable, especially solar and wind power companies, get a very definite message that the market needs to know what to plan for?
Yeah, and it's interesting. This measure we had hoped to put across Governor Schwarzenegger's desk last year, and just ran out of time at the end of our 2-year session, with minutes left to go on the clock before the session ended at midnight on the last day of a 2-year session. And the reaction in the marketplace was immediate. People said, look, we still don't have a clear sense of where California is headed on renewables. And for folks who are being asked to invest billions in renewable energy projects here in California, that kind of certainty is key. So if we send the clear message that California is serious about 33% by 2020, then the investment dollars, the tax revenues, and the jobs head to California. If we don't send that message, then those investment dollars, those tax revenues, and those jobs go to some other state or some other nation. So, if we're fortunate enough to get a signature from the governor here in the next couple of weeks, then we can look forward to a decade of building on the success we've seen in the last few years in terms of developing a green energy economy here in California. And it's real, it's tangible, it's tax revenues into the state treasury, and it's jobs for people who are quite desperate to have them right now.
And does California have the clout we like to think we have here to really bring the rest of the nation along if the governor, in fact, signs it? And he has indicated support for this goal of 33%.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, it's perhaps overused, but California is the eighth largest economy in the world. So just, you know, that fact alone makes what happens in California important in terms of establishing market trends. And frankly, from a political standpoint, in sending the message to Washington that not only can this be done, it's being done, and that others can do what we're doing here in California. We've got a lot of struggles right now in California, and you know, there are days when I feel like we don't have a lot to brag on, quite frankly. But this is an area where we've seen one of the few bright spots in terms of economic growth and development over the last few years. I think if we can get the bill signed, and I'm hopeful that we will, we'll see even greater growth and development in this area over the next decade. But it sends not just a signal to the market, it sends a signal to the political world that this is not only doable, it's being done, and that other states and hopefully eventually the nation can follow suit.
Senator Joe Simidian, I thank you for your time. Any parting thoughts before we give Joe Rome a chance to say something, and then we have to go to the break and be back with our next guest. But
we're kind of
at a crossroads, are we not? Critical moment here in our energy history and future.
We really are, and I think, you know, it's this is a clean air bill. It's a climate change bill. It's a market protection bill for consumers. It's frankly a foreign policy bill, because whatever your views about American foreign policy are, I think most of us can agree that American foreign policy ought to be based on American interests and values and not on America's energy needs. And then finally, as I say, it's an economic development and jobs bill as well. I think there's a lot of good that could come from taking this next leap forward, and I'm hopeful and optimistic we're going to take that leap and that a decade from back and say this was a good thing, and we're glad California led the way.
Senator Simidian, thank you so much for the good. No, make that great work you're doing. Carry on. We need your voice.